The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
And the topic for tonight is faith. So to some of you, that might be surprising. Faith in Buddhism? Wait a minute. We thought it was all experiential and there was nothing to sign on to and have faith about. So what are you pulling wool over our heads? What's this faith thing? So fear not. Don't run away yet. So there is no concept of blind faith in Buddhism. And Buddhism treats blind faith not very kindly. And a main teaching of the Buddha is ehipasiko, come and see for yourself. Don't have blind faith. Don't take anything on faith. See for yourself. And when you see for yourself, develop your own embodied faith. So that's how we're going to be using faith. Nevertheless, the concept of faith, not as blind faith, but perhaps as confidence or trust, or conviction. These are some other words that I like to use and try them on for size, see which one works for you. These concepts actually play a very central role in Buddhism. They're part of the faith is part of the five spiritual faculties, Indriya. And if you've already heard a few Dharma talks, you know that, and if you've read about Buddhism, you know that lists are very prominent in Buddhism. Lots of lists of lists of lists. Yes, lists. So this list of spiritual faculties is a very important primary one. And faith is on top of that. So Indriya, so what are the spiritual faculties? Faith or conviction or sada, which is sada. The second one is energy. Or persistence, or perseverance. So these are the energizing factors. These are the two, let's use these two fingers. These are the energizing factors. And then the other two factors, one is concentration, which is also known as samadhi, which is a cooling factor, which calms the mind. Then another one is panya, which is wisdom. So these are the cooling factors. And energy and faith are the ones that brighten the mind and give you more energy. The middle one is mindfulness, which balances all of these, so knowing which of them to give more rise to. So just to give a sense that faith is really central, and the list of five that I gave are known to be central and really important to development in practice. You need to have these five in order to make headway and progress on the path. And guess what? Faith is number one. So again, what is faith in Buddhism, if not blind faith? Trust, confidence, conviction, and it's not an intellectual conviction. So I want to make that very, very clear. It's not blind faith. It's really a visceral and felt sense of something that you have tried and you know works. It's a sense of connection to the path. It's a sense of knowing. It's a visceral, embodied knowledge. So as an example, let's say you've had a family doctor who's treated you since you were a child. And you've always gone to this doctor and she's always found what's been wrong with you. So when the next time something goes wrong, you have confidence, you have trust that she is going to find the way, right? You have a sense of trust. It's not like, wow, should I call her? Should I not call her? The opposite would be doubt. And doubt is an energy that cools the mind, that sort of causes wavering. Should I not? Should I? Whereas faith brings inspiration to the mind, bring inspiration to want to stay on the path. So what does faith or conviction or confidence, what does it serve? Well, basically, you need confidence for anything in life, any endeavor that you start with. Suppose you matriculate in college, a four-year college. If you don't have a sense of trust, if you don't have a sense of conviction, if you doubt every step of the way, then you're not going to stick to it. So there has to be a belief that what you're doing is beneficial, right? What you also have to have a sense of trust that the four-year college is going to end you up where you want to be. You also have to have some role models, like other people who have graduated and ended up in the place that you want to be in the future. You know, so the set of role models. So there are a lot of different ways that you, even for that endeavor, for say being in school, you have to have a sense of trust. Otherwise, you're going to drop out. So a sense of connection. It's also a feeling of trust that regarding the path, you know you can get up when you fall down in the middle of your practice. And there is this great quote by Ryokan Steve Weintraub. In Jenjokan, Dogen writes, "Those who have great realization of delusion are Buddhas. The place where you get to be Buddha, so to speak, is in delusion. And there's plenty of that to go around. You get up where you fall, where you fall down. You don't get up somewhere else. It's where you fall down that you establish your practice." And that sense of trust helps you get up again, that you can get up again, that the practice will help you, that the practice has helped, that has worked in the past. So I'll get more technical for just a few minutes, and then I'll continue with examples and also tell you about what brings trust for me, what builds trust for me. And then also to give you the lay of the land, I have some contemplations for all of us to try on tonight, either individually or if you would like to discuss with others to see what brings trust in our lives and a sense of confidence, what helps. Confidence in our lives. So knowing that the experiential part of tonight is going to come up in a moment, I'll get technical in a minute. So in the Abhidharma, which is the Buddhist psychology, compendium of Buddhist psychology, there are a lot of details about the various mental factors. And sadha, which is faith, is also a mental factor which can be present in many mind moments. So the characteristic of sadha or faith is placing, as in placing trust. So how does it function in the mind when you have a sense of trust, when you have a sense of faith? And it might be actually easiest if you try to tap into what feels like to have faith instead of following this conversation intellectually. Just if you had faith, what would it feel like? What would it feel like in the mind? About anything. Perhaps a sense of clarifying, a sense of purpose, a sense of willingness to follow through when you have faith, when you have inspiration. Whereas the opposite would be a sense of doubt, wandering, coolness, not necessarily following through. So the way faith also manifests in the mind is non-fogginess, bringing a sense of resolution to the mind. And the proximate cause of it, according to Abhidhamma, is the availability of something to place your faith in, and also hearing the Dhamma. So What inspires faith? What can be inspiring of faith? On the top of the list is recollections of the Buddha, or Buddha Anusati, which is the contemplative practice of thinking and recollecting about the qualities of the Buddha. And I can tell you that I've practiced this myself on retreat, on a very tough retreat many years ago, when going was getting tough and the juices were not flowing as well, and one of the teachers suggested Buddha Anusati. So, and the way I did this practice, and it was taught to me, to think about, and the way it came alive for me was to think about, okay, here I'm a human being in this world. And there was a human being that just like me lived more than 2,500 years ago. And he managed to clearly see through the nature of existence and being. Wow. I'm a human being. He was a human being. He did it. He managed. And that's so inspiring to me. It's possible. Someone did it. And furthermore, besides contemplating his wisdom, the fact that he was able to, by the power of his mind, to see clearly, to see the nature of reality as it really is, and live in this world with complete freedom and ease, and yet do so much, and not be aggravated by his sangha and the various problems and issues of the day and the teachers who were challenging him, etc. You know, he was completely free. He was completely liberated. Also contemplating that there was a human being with perfect virtue, and that's inspiring. It's inspiring for me to be able to be on that path and be just a slightly better, try to be a better person every day in every way I can, knowing that it is possible. That gives me faith. That gives me trust and confidence. And also the aspect of compassion and kindness and generosity and all the virtues that this human being managed to perfect. So it is possible. And if I just get a little closer to that ideal, I think I've done pretty darn well in this lifetime. It also helps me to think of living teachers who are role models. For example, I bring up Dalai Lama in my reflection. He's so generous and kind and compassionate and happy, and there are all these stories of how wherever he goes to various hotels, he lines all of the wait staff up and greets them one by one by one and makes everyone feel so special as if they're the most important human being in the world. That gives me confidence and trust that it's possible to be that way. Wow. A living human being is that way. So there is that possibility somehow. Also, other living teachers who are part of our Sangha, for example, and seeing how they live and how they conduct themselves, that gives me faith and trust and confidence that it is possible in this lay life to be kinder, gentler, more free, less reactive. Yes, it's possible. So these examples or these ways of inspiring faith that I mentioned so far are, in a way, borrowed faith. And I will talk about non-borrowed faith. And let me say what I mean. So, especially as a new practitioner, when one comes to this path, when one doesn't have one's own practice to rely on, it's really helpful to be looking at the example of others. Say, if you have Buddhist friend who's kinder and gentler, kind and gentle, and knowing, oh, that is possible. So it's kind of borrowed faith in how other people can act. That's likened to spending our parents' money instead of our own money. So when you have your own insights, your collection of insights, and also you see how far in the path you have come yourself, that can be the basis for your own faith. Whereas before you have a collection of insights, it's basically it's like spending your parents' money before you have earned your own money, your own insights, and your own faith. Also looking at how far you have come if you've been on the path for a long time and see how your behavior and how you have changed can be a way to inspire faith. So at this point, actually, I would like to invite you all for a moment of reflection. And there are three questions I would like to offer for reflection. If you would get into your meditation posture with eyes closed or open, whichever is most convenient for you, and let these questions drop in a visceral, embodied way. How do you experience faith? In your mind and in your body? What inspires and continues to inspire your faith and conviction? How do you consciously include faith as support for your practice? How does it affect your practice? Now I invite you to open your eyes, and if you like to, you don't have to, you can sit in silent contemplation, but I invite you to turn to someone next to you and find a partner. There's a lot of wisdom in this room, and instead of me going through the long list of things I have prepared, I'm sure it will come up in the discussion. So it would be wonderful if you would like to share some of the wisdom that you've tapped into or heard, and the microphone will be exactly, please, a couple of microphones. So please, what did you come up with for any of the three questions? Actually, I'll repeat them. How do you experience faith in your mind or body? What does it feel like to have faith? What inspires and continues to inspire your faith? And how do you consciously include it in your practice?
Hi, my name is Fadi. The concept or the experience of faith I have typically when I'm challenged or struggling, that's when I think of faith, I think. And the inspiring source that I get is the belief of the good outcome that this is definitely going to change, or whatever the concern, the doubt, or the issue is. I see and that's something that I almost feel in my body, that it's going to be better, or it's going to be a good outcome. And it's kind of like becomes more like a circle and feed on itself or something.
Thank you. So the trust in the outcome informing the faith and inspiring you, energizing, basically being an energizing factor, trusting in the outcome.
Yeah, the sense of certainty that the thing's going to change constantly, and often in the change there's something good.
Thank you.
My name is Noel, and I like this exercise. Coming from a very Christian background, faith to me had kind of a sticky quality, because it's you're asked to have faith in very sketchy ideas. And but sometimes when I'm really not doing well in really experiencing a deep movement towards serenity or ease myself, I really again and again fall in love with the words, you know, and my faith is that I have faith in generosity. I have faith that kindness is a good, good thing. And I have faith in ease. And even when that's beyond my experience, I can still experience what the words, just saying them, I believe in those words. And so I think for me, even at just the basement of doubt and confusion, I still have what those words mean to me. And that reawakens my practice.
Beautiful, thank you.
Hi, I'm Suzanne. And for me, faith is, you know, it's a conviction. And for me, I've noticed, you know, the progress I've made and the growth I've made. And so there's also a knowing, and that, you know, knowing also keeps me coming back. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a big one. That's a big one that I was leading to and just left it. So as one's practice continues and gets going, one has the sense of knowing that, wow, this works. It really works. I'm less reactive. I'm happier. I'm kinder, gentler to myself, to others. Wow, this works. That sense of confidence, which is in the gut. It's not intellectual. It's like, this works. That inspires faith. Definitely. Thank you. What else?
I guess for me, I guess for me, the knowledge that this teaching and these principles have been followed for so long, for many centuries by many people, and that many people have written about the benefits that they've gotten out of it, that's something that's inspiring for me, and gives me some faith that maybe eventually I'll get some benefit out of it too, even if I don't often feel like I'm immediately getting a benefit out of it. And I think that coming to groups and meditating with other people is something that strengthens my faith and my practice as well. There are all these other people who are going through the same thing.
Thank you. You actually mentioned different things. So the last one was a sense of community and really the Sangha and practicing in a group. It inspires faith. And that's a really, really important one to practice with others. And IMC is a fantastic community. You also mentioned the vision of you being able to achieve what many, many people along the path through 2,500 years have achieved. And that brings me to a little story or anecdote I heard from a friend regarding playing a musical instrument. So he said that he had wanted to play the violin, but he never really imagined himself as a violin player. But he started to play, he started to practice, and one day he got the idea, wow, I can be a violin player. I can do this thing. And that was just a moment of shifting the image, the insight, that I can do this. I can be that person who plays the violin. So it's exactly that also with practice. Ooh, I can be a person who can taste freedom, who can be less neurotic, who just having that vision, having that image, and having that, and that inspires faith. Like I can be that I can be that person, not the people I read about, but I can be that person who accomplishes this, who can do this, and that's can be a really inspiring moment and a way to really bring in faith. So thank you for that.
Hello, my name is Mackenzie. So for me, faith... like this? Better? Okay. For me, faith is trust. I find my faith in others and the goodness of others. Bjorn here finds his faith internally in himself. And I think we realize that faith is a very delicate balance between finding trust internally and finding trust in the goodness of humanity around. So maybe practice is about living in that place, that balance.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you. So I don't know if I can paraphrase it any better than you already put it, but it's both internal and external, which could be construed the way you put it was faith in yourself and also in faith in the community and in the goodness of others. And also there's another way that internal and external could be construed, which I was trying to refer to earlier, so I'm going to take this as a jumping point to talk about that. And that is, as you start the practice, having external faith, seeing, contemplating the virtues of the Buddha, and also seeing the virtues of various teachers, so and the good people around you, like, wow, they know something I don't. So maybe this practice does something. So that's kind of almost like external faith. Like you're putting your faith a little bit in them. You're doing the practice. You're doing your sitting because, well, it did something for them, so maybe it'll do something for you too. And then at some point when you experience the change in yourself and you receive how it works, the faith becomes internal. And that becomes internal faith because now you see, oh, actually this really works. You know that when you sit, you know that when you go on retreat, it will change you. It will shift and it will make you just more free in so many ways. So thank you for that. Other thoughts? I haven't heard from that area yet. I don't know. I'm going to put pressure on you. You were talking a lot during the discussion, so must be some thoughts on faith. Somebody budged.
So, my name's Aaron, by the way. I thought it was interesting, the question of where do you feel the faith, because I haven't done that exercise before. I haven't done that reflection before. And I noticed that I feel it up in the heart and then down to that very vulnerable part of the abdomen. Not as two separate things, as like a there's like a unification quality, like a bit of certainty. And I notice when there's doubt, it feels like things are kind of broken apart in here, or they're going kind of in different directions. There's a lack of unification. And then what I place the faith in is having some years experience in this practice, that even when I think it's not working, it still has inertia. And it's like, even it seems like it's working the most when I think it's not working. Like when things are about to like fall apart, or when shit's about to go down, or like when just there's a terrible purging feeling in the body, like if I'm really sitting in meditation, that there's actually a purification that's going on, or there's some movement towards hopefully more wisdom.
Thank you. And I particularly appreciate, as you talked about, how when there is a sense of faith, there is a sense of integration of the different parts of the body, and when there isn't, things are feel disintegrated. Very, very clear, nice imagery. And I invite all of you to investigate in your body if you didn't, see what it feels like, because an embodied sense of faith, of trust, is when you have it, remember it, and then later try to tap into it, because it's a lived, visceral sense, not so much intellectual. And will it that be the last comment, as it is 9 o'clock? And I thank all of you for coming tonight and bringing your wisdom and sharing it. Thank you. Have a good night.